Hello, Matt here. Hope you're enjoying the tide so far. Are you getting curious as to how we figure out the dice pools when we roll a test? Perhaps you're wondering just how good Russell is at speed reading. I recommend going to tide.show to find out. Of course, you don't need to know that stuff to enjoy the story, but if you're like me and have an insatiable desire to find out the workings of this strange world, then you should head over to tide.show and find Russell's character sheet along with a brief primer on the system we use to run the game. Happy delving, and enjoy this week's episode.
The Tide. So, Russell, you are heading through King's Tide, the wind whipping around you, darkness beginning to properly fall now, a chill seeping into your bones as you go. You are making your way to the King's Tide police station. You've asked a passerby where it is. They've helpfully pointed you in the right direction and also asked if you're okay.
I'd probably do the same thing if someone asked me where the police station was.
And what did you say to them when they asked?
That's a great question. I think Russell politely says, yeah, there's no emergency, is the best way of putting it. But thank you very much.
The stranger nods, their eyes sort of wide, looking like they want to ask another question, but they pass by. As you're going, as you're making your way, winding through the streets here, in the town centre, what's on your mind? What's at the forefront of your thoughts?
Letting myself think, having a plan, as little as that plan is, starts bringing up all the unanswered questions that I still have. I know that the police are going to ask me what the hell I'm doing. I need to know what I want out of this, and so I want to know when it happened. I want to know where he was, where he is now, where he's laid to rest. If I have to apologize to the dead, then I'd like to know where they are, and moreover, why he was here in the first place. I might not get that here, but this place is pretty out of the way. To my knowledge, he didn't have any connections here.
Yeah, not that you know.
And he'd have said if he did.
Maybe. I mean, the two of you talked a lot. Ian wasn't afraid of talking, and
certainly not.
You learned a lot about him in the year that you were together, year and a bit.
I knew where his family was. I hadn't met them, but.
But it's not here. It's elsewhere. You know, they're from Leeds originally. They're you know, no connection to King's Tide as far as you're aware.
I'm still looking for him, really. He wasn't at the house, he's somewhere else. Logically, I know that he's gone, but that's just two kinds of gone. I'm still going to have to find him.
He was gone before you came here, in a sense. You know, that's why you came here.
Yeah.
So emotionally, you're still in that state.
Mm-hmm.
As you push through the glass doors into the stone brick police station with a light on. Inside, it's like stepping into a vacuum chamber. Just total soundproofed silence and calm. Nobody in this waiting room, plenty of plastic seats, just completely unfilled. A quiet night, a quiet Wednesday night in King's Tide. There is one young man behind the desk. He looks to be about your age, wearing a police uniform. Looking down at some papers, his eyes sort of squinting and frowning at these bits of paper.
Hello.
Sorry, you made me jump.
Apologise.
Oh, what can I do for you, sir?
I'm looking for someone. I mean, I'm... There was a car accident, I think, recently, involving my friend.
He stands tonight?
No, in the last few weeks, his neighbour said...
The young man lowers himself back down onto his seat and beckons you over to the desk, so you're talking on opposite sides of this sort of open, you know, this opening inside of a glass window.
I couldn't get any information. Nobody was there to talk to me about who knew. So I don't know. Can you? Do you have a file? His name was Ian.
The young man is kind of looking at you as you're sort of struggling to find the words, and he says, "I'm not sure. I'd have to look. But well, I'm very sorry. You seem to be in some distress. We will do our best to help you. Well," and he kind of looks around at the empty office behind him, and he says, "It's just me at the moment, actually. My sergeant's gone out, but he should be back soon. And when he is, I can ask him. I don't really know if I'm supposed to." And he trails off.
You don't remember any car accidents in the last couple of weeks? This one would have been fatal.
He gulps, and I'm gonna ask you for a roll here.
Sure.
To get some information out of this man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna roll you difficulty. It's just gonna be 2d8 as a sort of fairly sort of standard, but not overtly easy, because you are sort of going against a certain protocol here.
Mm-hmm.
But I will include this constable's own sort of willpower in there as a mere d6.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's an 11.
I don't like that
in total.
At all.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds like it's rapport.
I think this is the perfect place to use rapport. As your skill.
Wits.
Sure.
That's a D10.
Oh, I'm gonna change that. I think this is cunning. This isn't wits.
Okay. Hate that.
I'm sorry.
That downgraded that to a D8. I've got another D8. I hate an unanswered question, I think,
yeah,
is the one here.
I think so.
Oh, that's really bad. That's two hitches.
On three dice?
Yes.
Oof. Ouch.
Pretty nasty.
What's your total?
Well, I can't use hitches, right?
You can't.
So it's four.
Four?
Yeah.
Ooh, not gonna do it. So with two hitches and five below the total that I set for you, this is going to go pretty badly for you, I'm afraid.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to take away your hero die that you banked at the end of last session. That is gone. And in addition, I'm going to pay you a plot point to activate those two hitches and give you a D8 complication. This should be pretty familiar to you from
when
you were spotted,
yeah,
D8.
Yeah, I remember those, okay. Yeah.
This time, instead of being spotted, D8, you are going to be under police suspicion, D8.
I hate that.
Which is quite a bit worse.
Mm, yeah, useful police, aren't they?
But at least you get a plot point out of it.
At least that. I can rely on plot points more than I can rely on the police.
So let's talk about what happens. I think that the constable here, you know, you're trying to get just some basic information. You asked him what he remembers, and he's going to sort of hum and haw for a moment, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not sure that I can answer that, actually. If you would like to just take a seat, I don't know when my sergeant will be back. He's just answering a call at the moment.
You must know something. If I have asked anyone around here, they'd tell me.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to sit down, please.
I think Russell's getting fairly agitated.
Yeah.
And sort of steps back, knocks over a couple of the plastic chairs. Not the most graceful of human beings in this particular state. Reads the discomfort on this guy's face, and like the kind of othering, the sort of scrutiny, and just starts saying, I'll come back another time.
The young constable opens his mouth and closes it again like a fish, but doesn't stop you. Are you heading out?
Like, at least outside the police station.
Yeah, he watches you go, and at the very least, he didn't get your name, which is something. But you are a newcomer, and I am going to take the fact that you were spotted earlier into consideration here, because you are still under police suspicion as a consequence of that. That doesn't seem to have gone as well as you'd hoped.
Nothing has. It's not long until I have to get back to the B&B.
Yeah, and just looking around, you are sort of around various like shops and restaurants and things. Almost everything is closed. It is one of those towns where everything shuts at 8 or 8:30. There is as far as you can tell, sort of nothing open. You did pass a bar or a pub, I should say, on your way into town. So presumably that's still open.
I'll stick around outside nearby if there's a bench, something like that.
There's a bench just opposite.
Hoping, you know, we're still hoping, holding out hope with the police to tell me literally anything. I've got no contacts here. I've got no repository of information. I've got no leads.
About 15 minutes pass until you see a car, a police car, roll up and go around the back of the police station where it parks, and a gentleman comes out wearing a police uniform and comes around the front of the building. He doesn't clock you immediately as he heads in through the same glass doors. While you don't hear the conversation because you're on the other side of the road, you sort of see it play out between these two policemen, one younger, one older, as he informs his superior about what's happened and points through the door over at you, where you are sort of sitting. The older man sort of takes a breath, pulls his coat a little closer in and steps back out, crossing the road, and he says, "You all right there, sir?"
Not really, if I'm honest. I just found out a friend of mine is dead.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. My constable in there said that you were causing a little bit of a fuss, is that right?
Not intentionally. I don't know exactly how he died, only that he did. I'm trying to find out some more information. I was hoping to find that out from you or your constable.
Well, we're not at liberty to provide that sort of information to the general public. I'm sure you understand.
I'm afraid I don't. These things, they happen in public. This was my friend, and the neighbours don't know anything. And he's just gone. I don't even know where to find where he's laid to rest.
Well, you're not from Kingstide, are you?
No. I've hopped over from Manchester.
He nods and says, right, well, chances are, if he has indeed passed away here in Kingstide, then your friend is most likely buried at the Minster. There's a graveyard there, and he points over to the building that does actually tower over most of the others here. What you thought was the cathedral, coming in. You know what a Minster is?
I don't.
It's a type of church. It's.
I know York has one.
It's almost indistinguishable from a cathedral.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks very much for your help.
May I take your name, sir?
Russell.
He looks at you expectantly.
Russell Cauldron.
He nods and he says, "Righto, Mr. Cauldron. Well, you look after yourself. Do you have somewhere to stay? You staying with friends or?"
I'm at a B&B. I don't recall the name of it, but it's down toward the Chippy on the front.
He nods. The Cranford, I know it. Well, righto, Mr. Cauldron. You have a good night.
I don't like interacting with authority.
No. At the moment, it doesn't seem like authority likes interacting with you.
Yeah.
Because as you watch this, presumably as you head away from this scene, the sergeant sort of doesn't move a muscle as he kind of watches you go before skulking back into the police station. Brief show of light as the doors open.
I don't fancy going to a graveyard in the dark. How far away is the Minster?
It's visible. You would estimate it's probably about 10 minutes. It's not really on the way though. It's you know, something of a detour.
Yeah, probably head in for the night.
Okay, you head back to the B&B. It is about 9:30, a little over by the time you get there. Grace is not immediately at the desk, but as you head in, she apparently summoned by the tinkling of the bell overhead. Trots through one of the archways leading in from the little living room that you saw before, and when she recognizes you, just gives you a polite nod. Are you turning in for the night, dear?
I am, Grace. Yes.
Righto. Well, I'll wake you up tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Grace. You don't happen to know where the Kingstide Mirror is written from now?
Oh yes, I do. They've got a lovely little office building, just on the edge of town. Do you have a map, dear?
I do. I'll run out and grab the A to Z from the car.
Furiously sort of turning to the pages that show Kingstide as you bring it in. Grace has found a highlighter pen from somewhere. And she kind of leans over. She smells faintly of peaches. And as she sort of leans over, she says, it would be just there. And she circles a particular building in red. It's a little out of the way from where you first came in, kind of just behind that industrial estate that you saw. Yep, they write it there. They print it there. It's still a family business.
Oh, and what's the family that?
The Porter family.
Porters.
Yes, they've been running it almost a century now.
Crikey, that is a family business.
Oh yes, she nods proudly. She is not a Porter. She presumably knows a Porter, but like she's nodding as though it were her own, her own achievement, as though she'd been running it herself for that last 100 years.
Well, I might stop by tomorrow.
What? Why is that, dear?
Well, I'm looking for a friend of mine, and turns out he might have been in an accident recently. I wanted to see if they had any back issues, or knew, or anyone who'd been to the place where it happened.
Ooh, her face kind of goes sympathetic, but her voice does that slightly weird long drone kind of thing. And she says, oh, well, you might like to try the library in that case. I'm not sure if... I have to imagine they have an archive at the newspaper office, but I know for a fact the library does. Almost as good as ours. But they certainly will be able to let you look at past issues.
The library, where... would you mind pointing that out as well?
She puts a little exclamation point on your map.
I feel like I'm unlocking things. Well, thank you very much, Grace. You're a gem.
She nods in acknowledgement and then goes to lock the door of the B&B, and she says, you have a nice night there.
And you, sleep well.
You head upstairs to your room. You haven't properly unpacked, but as you kind of said before, you're maybe not feeling the most tired at the moment. So do you take the time to unpack?
Yeah, in the half light, sat on the bed, looking at the window, presumably out to sea.
Yes, you have a sea view here, everything out there, you know, there was that brief sort of torrent of rain earlier that has now ceased, but everything is glistening slightly in the rain, and beyond that, the dark water sort of vanishing away into nothingness.
I sit there, unpack everything, put it into its respective little piles, and... usually I'd be happy living out of my bag, but given that I'm here with nothing else to do, I may as well sit and get something done. Maybe listen to some Radio 4.
That's all you've got?
That's all I've got.
Yeah. You on the radio, and a droning kind of low voice reads you the headlines of the day.
News at 10.
News at 10. It's just about coming on. it just kind of filters away into your mind, not something you focus on too much as you kind of organize your meager possessions, look over this A to Z, inspecting it for any additional locations. You do spot Kingside Minster on there. You make a little note of all of these little places that you've heard of or seen with your own eyes. Occasionally cars pass by the window down below, and you can very faintly hear the sounds of water lapping against the beach as the tide rises. And eventually, with the radio kind of lulling you to sleep, I think it takes you probably a few hours. This is not a quick process for you, as your mind is still in shock and whirling with these questions and this confusion, but eventually the tide of sleep takes you, though you won't remember exactly when by the time you reawaken. You are standing in your room at the B&B, staring at the wall. You have a proper close-up of the wallpaper, that peeling white pattern, and a strong chill seeping through you. No breeze, no sense of motion really, but just a frozen atmosphere around you. What do?
I go to the window.
You look outside, pulling the curtains apart. Outside it's a dark, starless night. A heavy fog obscures your vision more than a dozen meters outside the door. You can't see the sea, though you can hear it. And you can also see the glow of the streetlights through the mist. When a voice calls out.
Russell.
It's coming from the door. Looking around, the room is as you left it. The radio is visibly on. The little soft sort of orange-yellow glow of the dial is illuminated. But there's no sound coming from that. The only sound you hear is this faint echo of your own name, and it sounds like Ian.
Ian? Ian? Are you there?
Russell?
The voice comes again from through the door.
I go to the door.
You fling the door open and out to the landing there in the B&B. There is nobody there. But you can hear a faint shuffling of movement, as though someone's skittering away downstairs.
Oh, I'll make my way down, straight after them.
Without thinking, you just sort of follow down. Are you making an effort to be quiet, or are you not even really thinking about that at the moment?
Yeah, I think my instinct is to not be perceived, not rock the boat. Even now.
You tiptoe downstairs, each making a soft creak as you lay your weight on it. And down at the bottom of the stairs, that white painted door at the very foot of the stairs is open, revealing a black void within. From within there,
Russell.
You stand at the threshold. The soft light of the single lamp in the bed and breakfast lobby turned on. The desk empty, of course. The living room, as far as you can see, no other sounds coming from either of the other two rooms. And the darkness.
I call out. Ian! Are you in there? I can't see you.
Your voice almost deadens against the surface of the blackness. No echo of your own, really.
I reach out into the blackness.
It's a little bit cold, but there is nothing overt that happens to you. You think maybe at the very edge you can see the beginning of some stone on the floor.
reaching out for a wall, something to steady myself, I take a step forward in.
You grab hold of a banister and begin to fumble your way down the stairs in complete darkness. You don't know how far exactly, but eventually the banister comes to an end and you're on a flat stone floor. There is almost nothing visible to you, even from the crack of light up above. But you can see in this large square room, on every wall are shelves, metal shelves, with large grey boxes neatly lined up along every single one. And in the centre of the room, the faint outline of a silhouette from which emanates,
"Russell!
Find me!"
I reach out for the silhouette.
You grab something and there is a intake of breath before the walls crack open and the sound of rushing water fills your ears, salt filling your nose, as suddenly from every single angle water crashes through. The room begins to fill, a tangle of limbs as you and Ian are both carried away. You yourself are overwhelmed and you wake up.
I roll over.
You are in your room at the B&B, briefly confused, overwhelmed by the vision, the dream.
I sit up in bed.
As you do, you feel a little bit lightheaded and you are suddenly overcome with a spluttering cough and you feel fluid rise in your throat. Initially you think you might be throwing up, but it smells salty and cold, and as you cough you realize you are shivering, not from shock, but because you are soaked head to toe in ice cold salt water.
I swing myself out of bed, reach for a towel.
You have to head into the ensuite to find one, leaving dripping footprints on the wooden floor as you go.
Shivering. What the hell is going on? I pull it around me and take a look outside the window. What time is it?
It's just before dawn. There is no fog to speak of. It's a very clear night, and you can see the stars up above you. And you can also see the water out there. The first glimmers of, I wouldn't even say sun just yet, just grey filtering through.
Throwing on the first available clothes, toweling my hair off, I step out onto the landing.
That smell of salt still follows you, fills you as you go. But the landing is peaceful. The light downstairs is on, as it was when you left. I should say the radio is still playing behind you as well.
Creep down the stairs, just to look at that door to what I assume is the archive that Grace mentioned.
The door itself is closed. It is there. Unassuming white painted door. Wood on a latch.
I try it.
Okay. The latch comes up easily. Makes a little bit of a clinking sound. I think at this juncture, you're trying to be sneaky, so I'm going to ask you for a roll. I don't think it's going to be too difficult, though, because most people are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
2 fours. I got an 8.
8. Okay. Here we go. And literally not doable.
Oof.
I've gotten 7.
7? Any hitches?
No hitches.
So you could spend a plot point to get that up if you'd like. You can add your third die into the total?
Yeah, I'll do that. My new total is 10.
Excellent. Then that's high enough. Good work on spending that plot point. You managed to lift the latch. You can see now your hand is shaking. And this is a very sort of strange, surreal experience, kind of reliving something that, as far as you're aware, you've literally just done. But you lift the latch and beyond is the darkness. It doesn't look quite as dark as it did, but it is empty and black, and you can see the beginnings of the stone stairs. Do you begin to tread down?
Yeah, although, is there a... I didn't bring a light. I guess we'll just see. I hope that there's a light switch down there. If I feel along the wall, is there any electric lighting?
You head down and feeling along the side, you eventually feel something brush up against your arm.
It's not a spider, is it?
It's not a spider, okay. But it does initially unsettle you because it's kind of a long stringy and you realise it's a pull cord.
I'll pull the door to behind me before I turn the light on.
Okay.
And then pull the cord.
A single electric bulb flickers overhead and you hold your breath, half expecting to see him standing there just as he was, but of course there's nobody there. The boxes are there and the shelves. And what you can see now that you couldn't see before in the darkness was each of them is marked with a date. A year, or in some cases a range of years, going back a long, long way.
Is there anything where Ian was?
You head down to the ground and sort of inspect it closely. He appeared to be in the sort of dead centre of the room, right underneath that bulb. But no, there's no trace of even a footprint or residue. No water, certainly.
What am I doing down here? I look around, sort of coming to my senses. I just had a bad dream.
You did have a bad dream, but you'd never seen this room before. And this is exactly what it looks like. How can that be?
I take a peek around. I'll look for the boxes that are recent.
Yeah, easy enough to find, no roll needed for those. This place is kept pretty well organised, and on the bottom row of the last shelf, the one closest to the door, is almost full, but there are sort of two empty spots where two more boxes can go. And the last one, the rightmost box, reads 1998.
All right, I'll flick that open.
You become keenly aware that despite your sort of toweling off, your hands are a little bit sort of still a little bit damp, but taking care not to leave any marks.
Oh yeah, and this is an archive. Like, I'm a historian. I'll do my best to wipe them down on the t-shirt I'm wearing before I put my hands on anything.
And I assume you're kind of using this as a little bit of a shortcut because you were going to go to the library, I think, to find out exactly.
Well, I'm here now.
Yes, and here they are, yeah.
I was going to go to the library, you're right.
But an opportunity has presented itself.
And even if it was a bad dream, it was Ian's voice that brought me down here. I'm not going to let him down again.
Okay. Looking through this box, beginning carefully to flick through these papers. I mean, these ones look, you know, pretty new. They're less than a year old, of course. But still, you want to take care to preserve them. And of course, I presume you want to do this fairly quickly because you don't want to be down here longer than you have to. So I am going to ask you for another roll. This one's going to be a decent bit harder, in part because you're not supposed to be down here and you do have a D8 of police suspicion sitting on you that I should probably make use of. So I'm going to do that here. There's going to be a difficulty of 2D8 plus that police suspicion plus Grace's awareness, which admittedly is not great right now, but I am going to include it. Oof. You got a 14 to
14.
Beat. Yeah.
What in the hell am I supposed to do with that? All right. Well, I'm hoping that I can use knowledge as my skill here.
Yes.
A D8 from answering an unanswered question.
Yes.
I'm going to add my speed reading specialty.
Yes.
Which is a D6.
Can I tempt you one more time?
You certainly can. You certainly can tempt me. So I'll take an afraid D6 complication.
Excellent.
To roll double my skill die. My skill die in knowledge is D8.
So you get an extra D8.
An extra D8 there. So I've got an 11.
Okay, not far off. Any hitches?
One hitch. But I need to beat a 14.
You need to beat a 14.
So I can't match a 14.
No.
So I could use a plot point to add another dice, but the best I've got is a 3.
Ooh, that's rough. Do you still have that hero die? No, I took that away from you, didn't I?
You did, you stole it.
I did steal it. Ooh, that was bad of me.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, there's nothing else I can do here.
That's very bad luck on all those dice. You are taking your afraid D6 complication because you took your adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a hitch, which I'm going to activate. I'm going to say that in your state of shock and confusion, you are maybe not as as careful as you would like to be, and you maybe unaware, but leave a little bit of evidence that things have been moved down here. And I'm going to pay you a plot point to step up police suspicion. D10.
That's bad news.
It is bad news on top of bad news, and so I think we'll give you just a little bit of good news, which is, you know, you're looking to see if there's any information about what happened to Ian in this paper, and I'm going to say that there is, but it's significantly less than you might have hoped for, buried at the back of a one issue. There is a tiny column inches report that briefly outlines a hit and run, and doesn't tell you where, doesn't tell you whom, if anything, doesn't even actually say that it was, it doesn't identify the victim in any way, so you cannot be sure that it's Ian. The only thing you have to go on is the date of that issue.
It's something.
If the article is correct, this event happened yesterday from the article's point of view, that means that Ian was killed on July 27th, 1998. That is, of course, if Ian was killed at all. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit tide.show.